Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Welcome to church, everybody. It's great to be here. Thank you for coming. It is awesome that you made it. Isn't it the best place to be in the world? Yes? I think it is. Sorry? Where you're meant to be. It is great to gather together and that's actually what I'm going to talk about tonight. It's fantastic and I love it and I love being in church. So good work for getting here. Lots of exciting things happening. It's going to be a great year, I think. We've got, very high likelihood of purchasing some enormous amount of property for the church. So that's an exciting time and God's hand is just being all over that and continues to be all on that, and he's just doing amazing things. So let's be believing for that. But more than that, let's be believing that we will have an impact in our city and that we will see, people from all over the city drawn to God's presence, not just a church building, but the presence of God, the house of God, the family of God, the bride of Christ, and becoming part of his people and following his way and having a relationship with him. So I'm excited about this year and everything that it is. The next few weeks is going to be great as well. We'll be following on the Friends series on a Sunday night as well. So that will be great. But tonight, I want to talk about community and specifically about the cost of community. That's exciting, isn't it? Woo! Yay! We all like to pay for things. The cost of community, and we'll explain it as we go. But like we all know that community is great, and church is this community of faith, and we say it's with hearts as one because it's all of us with one heart together going after God, loving him, loving people, living his purpose, and our small groups we've called kin because it's family and connection, and we have that kindred spirit, and we are kinfolk all on that journey together, seeking God and doing that in community. So community is exciting, and all of us here, you're on board, and I know you are because you're here. Yeah. Like if you didn't care about the community that God cares about, if you didn't care about the church, if you didn't care that there was the Christianity wasn't supposed to be lived alone, but that we were here designed to work together to do that, then you wouldn't be here, yeah? Okay, we agreed? So it was like, oh, actually, I just walked in the wrong building. And when's the oldest 100 stuff? And it's great and it's exciting and it's fun and it's important, but it comes at a cost. And I was thinking about this week and really felt like God was speaking to me about the cost of community. You know, you can't consume community. It doesn't work. You know, we could run a service as an event. You know, we do a few songs, someone shares a word, you go home, you're happy, and you can consume that, yeah? That makes sense to everybody. But you can't consume community because community is built by all of us. And community is built by all of us coming together and paying that price to build that community of faith and to do something for the people that you're in community with and the things that God wants us to do. And all those things come at a cost, yeah? So we're going to have a look at Acts chapter 4. If you've got your Bible, you can open it up. Basically not going to go anywhere else. So this is really, really easy. You've only got to find one page in your Bible. It's page 1007 in my Bible. That's a good joke, isn't it? Yeah, it's terrible. Except unless you're on a phone, nobody has page numbers anymore. There you go. That's because my Bible's more spiritual than yours, Mum. It's got more pages in it. You need less pages in your Bible to understand it, maybe. Something like that. Anyway, so we're going to go from verse 32 and we're going to read this story. And it says, "Now all the believers were one in heart and mind." Oh, they were with hearts as one. "No one claimed that any of their possession was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need. Verse 36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. This picture of the early church is amazing, and we read it and we're excited by it. And I read Acts and I just think it's great. And I think, oh, like what it would be like to be a part of the church and a church that is like that. And then I feel like God say, well, you do your bit. Like the favor and the power and the grace can work when we are willing to pay the price of community and to pay the cost to build the kind of kingdom that God wants to build and to build a community. And we look at the disciples and we look at these believers, and it was this community built on sacrifice, really built on people who would give of their time and their energy and their finance and give of their all to God, but also to each other. And I think we can really, and as Christians, it's easy to be like, God, I give you everything, but I'm not sure about giving everything to the person sitting next to me at church. That's much harder, unless you're sitting next to Tom. Tom's given his all. He does. He's a legend. Anyway, but, you know, that's a much harder question. And I think as Christians and you know, not necessarily us or everyone or whatever, that's I think we do really well with this. But as a broader church in the Western world, we are very happy to say, God, I surrender all to you, but not very happy to say, I surrender all to you. And that's the real cost of community, and that's what it really costs to build the kingdom. And so my message is called The Cost of Community, or We Need to Sell Our Field. Okay? So you can write that down, because it's cool. You think it's cool? Oh, come on. I worked hard for that. No. You know, the cost of community is 100% in. And in this passage, we hear this story of Barnabas, who is the same Barnabas who was a missionary with Paul. So this guy, he goes on to be an apostle of faith. And he goes on to do amazing things and to preach the gospel where nobody had heard it before. And he does all these incredible stuff and amazing. And the first thing we hear about him is that Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, which is cool. I'm not even going to touch on that tonight, but we could. Sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. He is there and he is part of this community and his heart is for these people and his heart is for God. And so he sells what he has and he puts it at the apostles' feet and he says, do with it whatever you want. It's this submission, this humble submission to say, here it is, here is everything, yeah? And so we need, I honestly believe if we want to build the community of faith that God has called us to build, if we want to see things change in our city, because I don't know about you, but and I love everybody here, but I would like to see more people here. And I would like to see us impact our whole city and our nation. And that happens when we understand that it comes at a price. And that those of us that are committed to building his kingdom and to building his church will sell our fields. Yes. And lay it down at the altar and give it humbly. Yeah? Is that cool? So I want to talk a little bit tonight about what our fields are, why we should sell them, and how we should sell them. Because how-to is always a good way to finish. So what is your field? What does it mean to sell my field? I think the obvious answer to this is, okay, well, it's my money. It's my gifts, it's my time, it's my talent. It's those things, you know, that are obvious. It's I'm going to serve in church, that's selling my field. I'm going to make a sacrifice, that's selling my field. I'm going to give in the offering, that's selling my field. I'm going to bring the things that I'm good at and I'm going to use them for his church and for his kingdom. That's selling my field. And if I said to you, what's your field? I would imagine that that's the first kind of thing that you would start to think about. If you start to understand this concept and we start to look at what Barnabas has done and what these early Christians were doing, the obvious level of it is, I have these gifts, I have these talents, I have these things that I've been given. I'm going to give them to God and I'm going to give them to his kingdom and to his church, and we're going to help each other and do that, yeah? And that's true and that's good, and that is what your field is. And these things, they build community and they build strong, and we help each other through that, and it's important and it's right and it's all of those things. But I really believe that God wants us to go to a deeper level on that tonight. Yeah? So I think really what the field is your heart. These things that we sell, you know, your talent or your gifting, or you know, you're with me on this illustration. Those things are the surface level of what's going on in your heart. Yeah? And so what our field really is, and what my field really is my heart and my spirit and my trust. It's my priority. It's the thing that I put first. You know, Jesus says in Matthew 6:21, he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. And so I really believe that the thing that is our field is really our treasure. And I think this is an encouraging part of the scripture, and it's a challenging part of the scripture, as I say, what is the treasure in my heart that God's asking me to sell to build his church? Now get me on that. I'm not just saying to honor God or to build his kingdom, but literally to build his church, the church that I have been placed in, the local church that he has made me a part of, this community of faith. What is the treasure that is in my heart that I need to sell so that his kingdom can be built and his church can be raised up? What is the part, what is the treasure that is in my heart that I need to sell so that the people around me can be built up? So that the community that I am in can be strengthened. It says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. Now, I think it's really interesting that God graces these people to give, and it's to help each other. And that's, like, we want to help beyond this room, and that is what we should do, and it is what we do. But we need to help each other. We're a community of faith. And so that means giving to each other and helping each other. And that's why people were giving. It was to help and to build this community and to help the people that were their friends and that they worked with and that they lived with and they did things every day with, help them to live their lives and helped build this thing together. And so our field is our heart, and it's what is number one in our heart. And I was thinking about this for myself, and I was like, well, God, what is the field? And I encourage you to do that, is to really think about what is the field that you need to sell, because I don't know what it is, but there were lots of things. But for me, I was just felt like I was saying, you know, it's your priority. It's that his kingdom and his church is number one in your life. And when it's number one, then everything else doesn't matter. That everything else, you'll give anything, you'll sell any field that you have, because you've already sold the field, which is that he is number one in my life. And that's the heart of it. And I think that Barnabas understood that and got that in his heart, and that's why he was used by God in an amazing way. You know, that he wasn't used by God because he gave the church a lot of money. You know, he sold a field. It was a significant gift, and he gave it. He was used by God because of the heart that went behind that gift. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Is this all right? Yeah. Okay, you good? Yeah. Now, our field is the treasure, the thing that's number one in our hearts. You know, and when we give that, we give of our hearts, and we say, I am all in. I am 100% in. I'm not sitting on the side. I'm not half in, half out. I'm not just in the waiting pool, but I'm in over my head, 100%. I'm giving my all into this. It's your heart. It's your trust. You know, Barnabas just goes, here is all of it. Yeah. So now I'm going to be reliant on someone else to sell their field. Do we get that? He says, I'm in now. And if other people don't do it, then I'm going to be in trouble because I just sold my field. Now, I don't know how rich he was or what situation he was, but I think that's the heart of it. Is that it only works when we do it together. If one or two people sell their fields and everybody else just sits there and goes, sweet, thank you. No, we can only survive for so long. It's this continual giving of ourselves to each other and to God that will really build a community of faith. Yeah? So why would we do that? Why would we do that? Well, I think it's because God tells us to. You know, the church is his idea. It's not this made-up construct. You know, coming to a church service and the church and how that works is not just this arbitrary thing that we came up with because we had nothing better to do on a Sunday. You know, no, the church is the bride of Christ and it is designed by God and it is his vehicle for what he wants to do in this earth and he is going to use it to see his will done. And so we are a part of that. And when we are a part of a community of faith and a part of the church, then we can be a part of what God is doing. But when we are outside of that and when we are not a part of that, then we limit what God can do in our lives and what he can do in our city because we try and do it by ourselves. That's my why. You know, you can probably tell that I'm passionate about this area, but I think it's important and I really felt God wanted us to look at this at the start of this year because, you know, we have a chance to do something significant if we will sell our fields. Yeah, so why do you do it? You do it because it's your heart. You know, either your heart is there already, and so the selling of the field is just this outworking of your heart and what's already in it. You know, and I know that that's the people there. That's all of us here. It's your heart is there and you want to do it. And I thank God for people who he has surrounded us with and has allowed us and graced us to build community with who just love him and love each other and want to build his church and have a heart that does that. And so then when the need for the field comes up, they say, oh, it's sold. I already signed the papers last week. It's done. Yeah. You know, we do that already. It's in your heart, and that's why you do it. But I think the other thing is to lead your heart. And to give that and to let your heart be led by your spirit, where the Spirit of God says, build my church, you know, be a part of this, be a part of community. You can't be a Christian by yourself. You need to be with others. You need to be in a community of faith. You need to give yourself and you say, okay, I'm not feeling it right now, but I am going to lead my heart because I listen to my spirit. Yeah? And that is the key. And I think that's honestly the key to being a grown-up, if I can be honest. And, you know, I'm still young. I'm claiming that I am still young. May agrees with me because we're the same age. But if there's one thing that I think I understand about adulthood is that always listening to your heart is rubbish because your emotions take you down dangerous paths if you just let them rule your life. Listen to the Spirit of God. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to wise counsel and lead your own heart. Amen? So when we come to this time where we understand that God wants us to build community, it's not an optional extra. When we see this picture in Acts of the early church that God just poured out his favor on, poured it out in a miraculous way, thousands of people being saved every day, this incredible move of God, this incredibly powerful move of his spirit. When we understand that the heart of that is all the believers were one in heart and mind and no one claimed anything, but they shared everything that they had, then we understand why we should sell our field. You know, when we understand the community, it needs you, but you need it. And I think we can get in this trap. Like, yeah, community, we need each other. And I need you in community, but you need community. Yeah. And we could and need to, I think, humble ourselves a little bit and get to the point where we say, I can't do it by myself. I need this community. Yeah? I need the people that God has put in my life to help me live out this Christian walk. I believe that we are better together. And so I am going to sell my field so that we can build this community of faith. Yeah, are you with me on this? You know, we're not diminished by selling our field. I think we think somehow that if I give 100% and if I jump all in, that I'm gonna lose out. But that's not what happens. We are all increased and we are all enlarged by it. Yeah. You know, I don't know what Barnabas was going to do with that field, but God used him to do amazing things. Yeah. Surely far better than farming. I don't know. Or building a house. Maybe he was going to build a block of apartments. I don't know. Probably not. You know, I don't know what he was going to do that field, but God had a better plan and a bigger plan. And if we trust God, this is about our heart and it's about trusting God. Then we will. You know, so that was what is our field. That is why we should sell our field. And I want to get to how to sell your field. And this, hopefully I don't run out of time because this is almost a second message. Come with me if you're still hopefully there to Acts, and then we're looking at chapter 5. And there's this other story about a couple that sell a field. And it's different. So, difference. It says, now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? I think this is how pastors should speak to people when they do the wrong thing. Do you? No? How is it that Satan has so filled your heart? That's a good line. Peter is just like, bam. Anyway. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. So the problem is that Ananias has brought this money from selling this field and has said to the disciples, here's everything. Here's all the money that we made from selling this field. We're putting it at your feet, just like Barnabas. But that wasn't the truth. They had kept some for themselves. Now, you need to live. We need to live. I'm not encouraging you to sell your house and all of your worldly possessions and sleep in the office. You know, we've got to do work in the office. That would just be weird. That's not what this is about. The issue that God has with Ananias and Sapphira is the deception, and it's the lie. And it's the pretense of we're just as good as Barnabas giving everything we have. But really we're not. We're sneaking a bit to ourselves, which reveals their lack of trust, their lack of faith, the lack of heart. Just as much as Barnabas selling the field revealed his heart was full of trust in God and faith, yeah? And so it says, in verse 5, when Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Bam. Died. And a great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then some young men came and they wrapped him up the body and they took him out and they buried him. Now, about 3 hours later, his wife comes in not knowing what had happened. Now, I don't know how she didn't know that her husband had just died, but and been buried, but she obviously didn't get the memo. They forgot to invite her to the funeral. So she doesn't know what's happened. And she walks in and Peter says to her, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land? So Peter's setting her up. It's harsh. She's just like, so this is what your husband said. Is that true? Yes, that's the price. And Peter says, how could you conspire to test the Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door and they will carry you out also. And she falls at his feet and dies. Dead. This is intense. Sometimes we think that the Old Testament is the gory part and the New Testament is the lovey part, which it is in some ways, but it's intense. You know, I think why. This is the foundation of God's church on the planet. And so there's no room in the foundation for weakness and shakiness And there's no room for deceit and lies, because if that had spread, then where would the church be today? And God graces, and he has different seasons and he has different times. But I really think that at this time, he just had to deal with it, because they had to know that it was all or nothing, and that you couldn't lie to the Holy Spirit. And so it says they carried it out, and they buried her beside her husband, and great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. But then it goes on and it says the apostles performed many signs and wonders, and they used to meet. It says no one else dared to join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. It doesn't make sense, that scripture says. Everyone was too scared, but they kept joining anyway. And I think when we see a real move of God's Spirit that is built on our 100% willingness to sell our field and to give all that we have to God, then people will see it and they'll be a little bit scared, but they can't help but join, because it's significant and it's authentic and it's real and it's the Spirit of God. Amen. So how should we sell our field? And there are this couple, Ananias and Sapphira, and this guy Barnabas, and they both sell their field, and Barnabas does it right, and Ananias and Sapphira clearly did it wrong, because they're dead. So how do we sell our field? I just got a few thoughts really quickly, because we're almost out. We need to sell our field with humility, not with pride. Now it says that Barnabas, he brings his what he got from selling his field, and he lays it at the apostles' feet. And what that's saying is you guys do what you want. I trust you. God has put you there. You are the apostles. He has put you in that position, and he has put me in this community. So here, humbly, I am going to give to you. No strings attached. Whereas I think that Ananias and Sapphira, they sell with pride. They want everyone in the church to know that they sold a field, but they don't actually want to give what it takes to have that be a reality. So they keep a little bit of it for themselves, because they don't really trust God. Now, obviously they've given a lot, but it's this deception that is the issue, and I think you understand that. And it's this pride that says, we know a bit better, we can do something better with this than maybe the apostles can. Dad doesn't know how to use silent on his camera. No, apparently on Android, the shutter button never goes silent, and I don't understand why people like Android phones. Maybe it's just, I don't understand why you like it. That's fine that you like it. I don't have to understand. But yeah, anyway. Sorry. That was totally distracting. That's why they should have silent shutters. So that when people want to Instagram the message, the preacher's not distracted by it. Okay. It's the model. Samsung. It's a Samsung thing. Okay, let's have this discussion sometime when I don't have a microphone on a stage. Ananias and Sapphira, they gave with pride. And we need to be people who give with humility. We lay it at the apostles' feet, not asking for status. Sometimes we give our time and our energy and our gifting because we want people to think that we're good. And we want people to think that we're holy or spiritual. And so we give, but we hold a bit back because we don't actually trust God. And we don't actually want to submit. What we want is people to say, look at him, he's great. Yeah? And that's a challenge, but it's the truth. You know, we need to be people who are willing to humbly just say, here it is. I don't care what you do with it. I don't care if I'm known, if people know that it was me. I don't care if it's significant or if something goes wrong and it ends up not working out. I don't care. I'm just going to sell my field and put it at God's feet. Amen. Humility versus pride. Honesty versus deceit. You know, the lie is the issue in this passage of Scripture. The lie is the reason that they are killed. I don't think that if they had said, to the disciples, you know, we sold our field and here's 10% of what we got. They would have said, thanks, that's a great offering. I don't know, but, you know, if someone did that in our church today, like if you sold your house and then you gave a portion of it to church, that would be an amazing, generous act. Yeah. But don't say, I gave everything for the church when you did it. When you're holding something back, it's the deceit that is the problem. And to build a genuine community, we need to sell our field. We need to be transparent, honest, accountable. You know, no hidden agendas or motives, no things that we keep hidden away because we think we know better or we think it won't, nobody will find out or whatever it is. But the deceit is the issue. We need to be people who can come with honesty and humility and say, I'm just here to build His kingdom. You know, here are the things. I'm not perfect. I'm not 100% great, but I'm 100% in. Yeah? Are you with me? And finally, we need to sell our fields looking to eternity rather than looking to the temporary. The early church lived with this conviction of the imminent return of Jesus. Honestly, like literally, they were expecting Him to turn up at any second. They were expecting Jesus to turn up that day. That's what it was like. Read the scriptures. They were doing everything because they expected Him to walk in the door, not literally, you know, with the cloud and the fire and the everything, tomorrow. And they live with this eternal perspective. And so Barnabas says, I don't care. I'll sell my field because what good is it to me in heaven? Whereas Ananias and Sapphira said, let's keep a bit to ourselves in case the whole thing goes belly up and we need something to fall back on. Yeah? They have this temporal perspective. And my challenge, and I'll close with this because I'm out of time, is let's live like Jesus is coming back. Amen? Let's live like Jesus is really coming back. I'm going to pray. God, I just thank you so much for faithful people who build your church. God, for a community of believers who are 100% in and just want to honor you. God, I pray that you'd help us to sell our fields. God, reveal the things in our hearts that's the thing that we need to sell. And God, maybe it's something specific right now. Maybe it's a general thing for our heart and our life. But God, just use us. Use us to build your church. God, help us to have a heart like Barnabas that just gives 100%, no going back, no holds barred, and just says, yeah, God, take it all. God, help us to give with humility. Help us to give with honesty. Help us to give with an eternal perspective. But God, I pray that you would just put in our hearts, in a fresh way, the knowledge and the understanding that you are coming back. Because we don't have to be worried about this world. Because we are expecting the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for your word to us. God, thank you for using us, for using me for your purpose. God, have your way in our lives powerfully. And God, do something significant with this community of faith. Now, before we close, we'll pray this prayer together. It'll come up on the screen, but let's pray it, you know, let's pray it fresh, and let's pray it saying to God, I'm going to sell my field tonight. Is that all right? So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow you. Amen. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Sea Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.